This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. I guess one of the things that always concerns me, because there's a lot of things that concern me, I have concerns. One of the things that always concerns me is, you know, people basically, they think of preppers and people who are leery of their government, people who think that the government have ulterior motives when they want to take away the Second Amendment, and when they, you know, come after your freedom of speech, or when they pass things like the Patriot Act. Problem: the government to its people. People are like, oh, no, that's not true. Don't, you're crazy. You know, you're just looking for problems. You're just paranoid. You know, put your tinfoil hat back on and go back in the closet, you know, and that's kind of the world we live in. And that's a little concerning. So I thought, how cool would it be if we kind of dug down in times where people had really crazy, far out, hey, these things are going on. And then it turned out that they actually were, and we can prove it. And it turns out there's more of these stories than you think there are. And that's, I guess, what's so concerning. Because so often we're being lied to. And then it's funny, because when they get exposed, you're like, well, we all knew that. I mean, they've been saying that for years. Well, no, we were crazy, right?
Yeah. Right. No, it's that's the big thing, is that you expose these conspiracy theories. Turns out, oh yeah, it turns out they are fucked up and they were doing fucked up shit, but nothing ever happens. There's no like consequences to these actions. You know what I mean? Nobody goes to jail. Nobody, you know, gets fines for most of this stuff. They just go on with their life and everybody's cool with it for some reason.
Yeah. So I don't know. All right. Let's jump right in. One of the big ones that I found was shocking was I saw a story about Bayer Pharmaceuticals, and they make like aspirin and, you know, all the, I actually knew a guy who used to work for Bayer, and he invented the like surgery pre-made kits where if you were doing stitches, there's like a little packet that's sealed that you could crack it open and it had everything you needed for that job, and ended up making the company a lot of money. It was kind of like, got them all kinds of promotions and bonuses and whatever. I don't know. To me, it didn't seem like, it's one of those things that they seem obvious, but nobody's doing it. And then you come right. up. I don't know. I thought it was kind of neat. So anyway, turns out there were some letters that came to light of basically the CEO of Bayer back in the 30s. Messaging Hitler's government there with like Goebbels and stuff, and was hey, you know, we got all those Jews that you sent us, and they were all in great health and whatever, and we did our testing, and you know, they're all dead, but it was really helpful, and it'd be great if you could send some more over.
That's
like, man, and you're like, yeah, this is a company whose foundation wasn't exactly, you know, as solid as maybe it should be. And it's funny because we go after people for their past now. That's the way we do things. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, nobody at that company now, unless like Soros works there, nobody's still like alive, right?
Right.
From back in the day. But, you know, and I'm not the guy who's like, yeah, you know, your great grandparents did something fucked up. You're in trouble. No. But let's bring that forward a little bit to the 80s. Same company, Bayer, right? They're making blood clotting agents. And they ended up hiring infected people because people with AIDS, actually, and STDs. I guess they were lower budget, like you could get more, or they were working with them to help. I don't know what really the logic was, but they hired a lot of people who were infected with AIDS to be working on this stuff. And so they were making drugs and they ended up getting contaminated. I don't know how somebody got cut on the line or, you know, who knows what. I don't know what happened. But what I do know, and this is actually a fact, and if you Google some news stories, you will see it all day long. It's ridiculous. But they contaminated the medication with the AIDS virus. The company knew about it and said, you know what, we'll just send the contaminated stuff to South America and to Japan because whatever, they're not American, so it's not like it matters. And they actually infected 20,000 people with AIDS, and they knew before.
They knew they were doing it.
They were like, it's like those recalls, like, oh, we know our car's going to blow up. But, you know, it's too expensive to recall them all. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, the lawsuits will be less expensive than the recall, so.
And they somehow swept that under the rug. Like, I don't know how you can still stand as a company with something like that and nothing really came about of it. But I don't know. So that's number one of my big, like, kind of cover-ups that we ignore, like. You know, I mean, the same thing, IBM, right, was one of the companies that had that whole, you know, number stencil on the Jewish people in the concentration camp.
Right.
That was IBM, you know, who came up with that system of how to do it and, you know, we'll track it all. And yeah, but anyway, what do you got, Kevin? You got one for us?
Yeah, let's talk about Project Mockingbird. Now, this is one of the older ones, too. This is 60s and 70s. Operation Mockingbird was a CIA operation. Now, you see a lot of this in these conspiracies that turn out to be true, is the CIA is involved in them.
Right.
CIA operation spied on members of Washington Press Corps in 1963, 72, and 73. Paid journalists to publish CIA propaganda. They were wiretapping their phones. It was greenlit by the Attorney General and Secretary of Defense and the Director of Defense Intelligence Agency. Everybody said, no, they're not doing that.
That would be ridiculous.
Turns out they were doing that. It was uncovered by the Church Committee. And they were blackmailing people and, you know, basically tapping their phones, recording their conversations and using that to blackmail them to publish stories that either were not true or just were barely true and pushed the line in the direction that they wanted it to go.
Right. And this is back in the day and that we know about, right? That they were doing it. And they said there were over 400 different news broadcasters that they know were specifically blackmailed or bribed. That's kind of shady, you know, like, man. Right. And then we look at our media now, you know, they always, you see these clips on occasion where everybody has the exact wording of what they say. You know, they all report a story and it's all like, you know, fake news.
The exact same
thing.
They
all say fake news or whatever.
Right.
I know fake news is like a standard go-to now. Like they teach you that in reporter school or whatever. But, you know, but it's unbelievable how it goes.
They get these lines and you can see that. You can see the shit. Do you remember that a couple weeks ago, was it last week, that Biden gave his State of the Union speech? And the quote that you saw over and over again was fiery speech. And like five different news agencies all said the exact same thing.
That's how you describe a speech in normal conversation all the time. So I see how they could stumble onto that.
They could accidentally all say the exact same thing.
I mean, you know, that's pretty typical, but all right, I got another one. Now this one's kind of crazy. It's called Operation, and this is the real name, Operation Midnight Climax. Again, it's brought to you by the CIA. Now, Operation Midnight Climax, this is a good one. They paid sex workers to bring gentlemen callers back to a hotel room, and they would drug them with LSD, and then the CIA would come in and interrogate them to see if they could get people to kind of loosen up their senses and see how accurate the information would be if they, you know, drilled down on, you know, questioning and interrogating to see if that was a beneficial tool. These were just like random guys. Now, I guess they're criminals because they're paying sex workers, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we're like, hey, let's just drug them with LSD. And which we know has long-term consequences of, you know, how it can affect you and your body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows? They were like,
Looking for like a truth serum is what they're after. Yeah, and LSD isn't that, but they thought it could be. And
you don't know until you try, Kevin.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I guess the prostitutes got paid twice is what Slowburn says, and that's not wrong. All right, what do you got? Anything?
Let's talk about the Gulf of Tonkin. That was a conspiracy theory for a long time. It was like bullshit. You know what I mean? Turns out the USS Mannix was providing support for South Vietnamese attacks on North Vietnamese islands. USS Mannix opened fire on what it later claimed were several North Vietnamese vessels. The skirmish deepened American involvement in the Vietnam War, leading to the death of tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers and hundreds of thousands of citizens. It turned out that the targets the Mannix fired on, there was nothing there. There wasn't really a thing. President Johnson claimed that the North Vietnamese fired first, but they didn't because they didn't.
They weren't
exist.
There.
No. Yeah. And so we used that to as a reason to extend the Vietnam War and basically went to war for no legitimate reason. How about the secret gathering of world elites in California to decide the fate of the world.
Be talking about Bohemian Grove.
That's right. And the big, what's his name? Olmec, the owl god. Right. So that was a thing that actually came from the original Illuminati, which was a real organization. And it was from Bohemia, not California. Bohemia, the country that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
They go over there and I guess it's to celebrate their love of theater, which
I love
sounds
theater.
Sounds like bullshit.
You know, so I love Nixon, theater. I go out some of the Grove.
Yeah, exactly. some of the people that went there, people like Ronald Reagan before he was president, Richard Nixon before he was president, like kind of like, you know, people that might end up being powerful and then do end up
process, if you will.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of like the Skull and Bones.
Yep. Yep. And it's actually where the idea for the first atomic bomb was sketched out.
Oh.
So they got that all planned together. Now, Richard Nixon did actually talk about it. They recorded him on, or he recorded himself on tape, and the tapes later got out, right? Yeah. He did
a lot of recording that maybe he shouldn't have.
Yeah, I mean, that should have been private conversation.
I feel like if I'm president, I'm going to be like, you know what? I know there's recorders in the White House, and we try, you know, in the Oval Office, and we try and keep that whatever. Let's just not do that.
Yeah.
That's a no.
Yeah. So this is a quote from Richard Nixon. The Bohemian Grove, which I attended from time to time.
Sure.
It is the most faggy goddamn thing you ever can imagine.
Kevin,
now, Richard Nixon always had a way with words.
He did have a way with words. But I feel like in modern society, we might not let Tricky Dick, run out and talk like he talks, because we're a lot more civilized now. We don't really talk like that.
No.
Now, some good ideas did come out of the 90s, and I know he was a little bit earlier, back late 70s and mm-hmm. whatever, but we had some good ideas back in the day, and I can tell you one of them. Or did you have more on that? Am I cutting you off?
Nope.
You're good? All right. We had the gay bomb. Now you're thinking, well, like, what could be a gay bomb? How awesome is that? Well, let me tell you. The Ohio Air Force Laboratory proposed in the 1994 Pentagon budget for $77.5 million to build a non-lethal gay bomb weapon that would encourage enemies to make love, not war. The weapon would use strong aphrodisiacs to make enemy troops so sexually attracted to each other that they just stop fighting and just start making love. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else, what's more awesome and more politically correct than that, Kevin. I mean, you're embracing diversity with that one.
Well, you know, I know that in like stressful situations, it's got to be a strong aphrodisiac, because I feel like if somebody's shooting at me, the last thing I'd be thinking about is sucking dick. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know
make
how that
sex. Because, you know, you have all that passion and energy, and then you got to kind of have an outlet for it. That's an option. I mean, I'm just saying, these are, things on the mm-hmm. table. Now, it's questionable of whether the money ever got approved to even try and move forward. However, they dismiss it like, well, yeah, somebody put that idea out there, but we just were like, no. That wasn't really the case. Like, they actually had meetings and talked about it, and we're like, this is something we could do. And I think it's kind of a way of like doubly humiliating the enemy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's also experiments with what are they? I don't know if they actually called that, but it was the conspiracy theory is Gaydar. They're like doing research on whether they could tell if somebody was gay. So what they did was they brought thousands of government workers in and showed them pictures of erotic male pictures. Right. I guess is how you would say that. And they measured people's pupils, and if they dilated when they saw these like naked dudes, then gay. And they fired them. So, like, over 1,000 people got fired because their pupils dilated when they saw a picture of a naked dude.
They called that gaydar. So. They really did. And they were working on that. Mm-hmm. They were hard on, like, yeah, we're going to – well, you see the play on words there. They were working on that to, you know, make it a thing. I don't – it's ugly out there. There's a lot of – I don't know. I just – yeah. So – next one I got, and this one's a little disturbing. The Tuskegee study. Have you heard of this? This is back in the day. And everyone's like, well, yeah, that's a long time ago. You know, we did a lot of crazy things. But basically, they offered people, and of course, is, you know, mostly African-American community, free health care. And then they intentionally gave the people syphilis, which is not a fun disease. And now, mind you, it's something that can be treated with penicillin. We had penicillin at the time. We knew we could treat it with penicillin. And they just didn't do anything to treat the people to just see what would happen. Because, you know, it's your government looking out for you.
Well, you don't know. Right. When you get a, give disease to a, when a, when a person is infected with a disease, it usually goes the same way with whatever people use. But you're not sure about that, right? Like, how do you know that black people are gonna get holes in their brain like white people? You know, you don't know
until unless you, try. You
intentionally infect them and just wait and see what happens. Turns out that people are people and disease affect people the same way.
Yeah,
but whatever.
You can't assume
whatever. Fuck those people,
you
right?
You cannot assume fuck we're all people. The same inside, Kevin. I have my own set of feelings.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah. I guess that's awfully progressive of me to say something.
Let's dial that back.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's incredibly fucked up to make people sick and kill them with that terrible disease just to see what happens. Because I don't know. You have fucking money to spend and you want to just check everything out. Fuck those
Kevin,
people,
that is
I guess,
the
right?
Wrong attitude.
I'm a fucked up person, I guess.
All right. What do you got?
How about this one? There's a conspiracy theory that the Dalai Lama is actually a CIA agent.
Kind of like 007.
Yeah. So the Dalai Lama is, yeah, the 00, whatever. I don't know. But the Dalai Lama is somewhat anti-communist. He's Tibetan, the communist Chinese party
invaded
Tibet.
I don't know if you saw the comments after our China episode a couple weeks ago. Nope.
Oh, was that
China
wrong?
Just minds
they never
their own
invaded
business
anybody?
And is just looking out for their people and growing their economy. We did.
Yeah, we got a lot of hate from that one, didn't we? A lot of people, a lot of blowback, but I don't know if it was real people. You know what I mean? I think that was propaganda people working on our right. Facebook page.
Anyway,
I mean,
Dalai Lama, Tibet hates communism. Strokes, go on.
Yep. So that was like actually like a pretty fucking great PR for the CIA. The Dalai Lama had to leave the flee the country because they whatever. China like picked their own Dalai Lama because apparently they don't understand how Buddhism works, and everything went on. The Dalai Lama though in well he's out of the country was still talking about this. But he didn't have any money. So the CIA started paying him an annual stipend of
$180,000.
Just to.
Now, just to I'm be no Dalai Lama, but I am anti-communist. Oh, but wait, the government's kind of gone full circle on that now. So now we're trying to push. All right.
Yeah, you got to go the other way now, Chuck. If you want to get paid, you can't be anti-communist. You got to go the other
That's
way.
That's a no-go. We've come full circle. All right.
That's not helpful. Mm-hmm. Because you know why you're anti-communist? Because you believed in the Dalai Lama.
It totally backfired.
You fell for their propaganda. No,
I don't want to dig too deep into this one because it's a whole show on its own. But do you remember a character came to pass, Edward Snowden? Oh, yep. See?
Yes.
The reason I say that. Because I assume nobody remembers who he is because what the hell? We just were like, that shit doesn't matter. So obviously it was just a blip on the radar that just came and went because nobody seemed to give a shit. It turns out
nobody went to jail.
They
for
tried to put him in jail. That was a thing. But it turns out for a long time, you guys have probably never heard this and heard that it's a conspiracy, but people would say, hey, you know, your phones are listening and, you know, the government is tracking all your information and so much more than the Snowden leaks. Like now they are buying and getting information from Apple and Facebook and TikTok. And I mean, Snowden touched on that and that it was everywhere, but it's like just way expanded. I think really what happened is after they realized that nobody gave a shit, they were like, came on, you know, and now it's one of those things. Yeah. Oh, that's old news. Oh, the government's spying on me, whatever. Mm-hmm. They can listen. What am I doing? I think whoever came up with that, the idea that, well, if you have nothing to hide, then it doesn't matter. Whoever came up with that,
right,
got the bonus of the year. Right?
I feel like everybody in government, every senator and congressman, when they're on the floor, should be completely naked.
You have nothing to hide.
You know what I mean? How do we know they're not smuggling a bomb in their underwear? I mean, that's already happened underwear once. Bomb. You know, some dude did that. How do we know? Take your clothes off. If you don't have anything to hide, why are you wearing clothes? It's disgusting. You know what I mean? This behavior by our senators and congressmen.
You know, God was cool with us being clothes. Naked back in the day, right? And then all of a sudden, yeah, you're hiding yourself. Yep. I see what you did there. No, that's it. It turns out the government is listening. The government is watching. Now you're saying, well, it's not possible because there's only so many government people and there's only so many other people and they can't actually listen to everything I say. And well, let me explain how AI and things work, right? So it turns out they record and collect all the information. And then when they want to know something about Chuck Yeager, they're like, hey, you know what? Let me see what this guy said. And what has he ever said about China? Oh, shit. Look here. And they're like, damn. And that's, you know, I have them. And then they're like, well, what has he ever said about the ATF? And then they're like, oh, shit. You know, we better send some agents over, right?
His ass and check that out.
This is the kind of thing. And then some people, I mean, you would think, oh, Chuck's so stupid. He puts it on this podcast and puts all his information out there. But, you know, I'm kind of come to the conclusion. It's all out there anyway. You're on Facebook, TikTok. You're everywhere. It doesn't matter. Oh, you talked in your bedroom to your wife? Mm-hmm. It's on there. They got you. So,
Yeah. Remember when it used to be, got to be careful what we're saying on the phone because the government might be wiretapping us. Now it's like, hey, wiretap, what's a good recipe for brownies?
I had to buy a new washer the other day. And they're like, oh, this washer comes with Alexa. And I'm like, why does my washing machine need Alexa? But she's listening.
Uh-huh.
I didn't buy that washer, if that's what you were wondering. But just
you didn't. Well,
the reviews were horrible. That and I'm not paying $900 for a freaking washer because I'm too cheap and, you know, whatever. But anyway, moving right along, keep the flow. That's what I got is flow. Mm. Have you ever heard that? All right. So we all know that the US dollar is the world's reserve currency, right? And that's what people trade in and whatever. And obviously that's quickly losing favor and starting to slip a little bit. And I got to say, it's going to be bad when it does. And we can talk about the BRICS nations and how their stuff. But really, whenever a government seems to kind of say, hey, you know, we're going to go on the gold standard and sell oil for gold or, you know, a new way, right? The BRICS is the same idea, right? A commodity-based thing. And so anyway, so somebody actually tried to do that. A lot of people tried to do it. Somebody tried to do it and I have proof and can lay it out right here for you. That's the difference. Turns out there was this guy and his name is Gaddafi. And Gaddafi tried. Now we paint him as a really horrible guy. And honestly, I don't really know. I don't know what's propaganda and what's not. I do know that he is like a hard line guy. He's not somebody who you cross. I do know that that's a real thing. But not as all his ideas were exactly horrible. And he wasn't just out like messing with people. Like there's way crazier out there, right? He was not. And he had that harem. He's the one with the harem of like the 30 odd hot chick bodyguards that would roll into New York City.
Right.
And you'd
right.
be like, what? What's going on here? And his women were, you know, met, you know, crazy killers, whatever. So, I mean, he did have some things going, but I know that kind of left a distaste. So anyway, it turns out he wasn't just the head of, what is it, Libya? He was the head of the North African Union. And what he did was he suggested, you know what, let's get away from the manipulated U.S. dollar. Let's make a gold-backed dinar. Would be the form of currency. And, you know, they came up with their whole thing. And he was doing all kinds of things for Africa. All right. So he made something called the man-made river. And this man-made river was this pipeline that was going to be built in four different phases. And it was 4,000 miles long. That's long. When it was completed, it was going to be 4,000 miles. All right. So he set it up and it basically comprised of 1,300 wells that at the time in phase two, because that he only got through phase three and then we took it out. But 1,300 wells was producing 3 million gallons a day and they were delivering it, you know, basically all over the northern end of Africa. And by the time they got to phase four, they were planning that it was going to be 6.5 million gallons. So check this out. We decide, oh, Gaddafi's a bad guy. He's probably why everything's bad. We went and we bombed the pipeline, bringing water all over Africa. Yeah.
That supplied clean water to...
We bombed...
water-starved
areas. The building that actually made the pipes... And the new sections, and we decimated that because we were like, oh, he's probably hiding missiles in that building. Because, you know, I mean, that could be, right? We didn't go look for like weapons of mass destruction inside the building after. We just bombed it and we're like, solved it. They didn't send in any troops to kind of get to the bottom of it. And we made sure to like kill that guy and make sure that everybody saw that that's not a good way to go. We took his gold guns and we're like, no.
Did you ever see that interview with Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
She was the Secretary of State when that
happened. I have details. And
she has this crazy video. And you can look it up on YouTube because it's absolutely insane. But she says something like, we came, we saw, he died. And then she had this like weird supervillain laugh afterwards.
I was going to pull it up. I didn't get a chance. But so remember there were those Hillary email leaks that came out from like WikiLeaks. Well, you can search this out. I'm not making this up. Hillary's emails from April 2nd, 2011. Now, her email said, Gaddafi's government holds 143 tons of gold and a similar amount in silver. This gold was accumulated prior to the current rebellion and was intended to be used to establish a pan-African currency based on the Libyan gold dinar. This plan is designed, this is word for word, this plan is designed to provide the Francophone African countries an alternative to the French CFA or the French franc. And all right, that was in her email. Basically, though, France was driven by a desire to gain a greater share, or this is actually her again in an interview after, France is driven by a desire to gain a greater share of Libyan oil production, increase the French presence in North Africa, and stop Gaddafi from taking over French control in Africa. So all this was said, and this, I would say, was really our motivation for going after Gaddafi. Now,
I always wonder why the French were so interested in bombing Gaddafi, because it was the United States. But really,
and France, so that's the thing. So what it is France actually has a lot of influence in North African countries. and a lot of control there. And they actually stood to lose a lot if it went away. So Hillary was writing emails saying, hey, you guys need to get on board with this because we can kind of split up Libya. And that's kind of fucked up, right? I don't know if you guys realize, but I mean, we really do some shady shit. And then it's like, wait, you know, it's all because of Trump that the rest of the world hates us. That's why they think we're so evil. And that may be, but it turns out it's not just the Republicans doing some shady shit out there.
Yeah, they didn't.
Trump wasn't like, hey, you know, I'm going to go crazy and mess with people because that's fun. Like, Trump's been messing with people since the way back. I don't know if you like, he has interviews and stuff where he's like cool, happy, friendly guy. And then he has interviews like, if you're his enemy, it's not good for you.
No, that's kind of his thing though, right? If you love him, he loves you. If you hate him, he's going to fuck you up.
Hey, you know,
he's going to ruin your life.
He has passion. Can you not embrace passion, Kevin? He's a passionate man.
There you go.
All right. I get on board with that. Celebrate passion. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
So fun side note though. So there's a big rebellion. US is bombing Libya. Gaddafi's on the run. People in Libya, not a huge fan of him, turns out. So they were tracking him down, chasing him. He abandoned his vehicle because it broke down, and him and his bodyguard like ran out into the fucking desert and like hidden in a ditch in a culvert. And guys found the vehicle. They started looking for him, and he finally came out
over here.
And they grabbed his ass, and he's like, "Wait a minute! Don't you know who I am?" And so they he got fucked to death with a knife. So
he is a kind of unique the best looking character. Like, you don't see Gaddafi and be like, who's that?
Right. Oh, maybe that's somebody else. He kind of had a
look about him.
You can tell.
All right. Now I have one more. Do you have any more you want to hit before it? I kind of wanted to close with mine. But, all right. Let's hear it.
All right. I got one more. This is a crazy one too. This is tell me. This is interesting. So there's a conspiracy theory that the government was stealing dead babies to do experiments on them. Yeah, wasn't 100% accurate. They were stealing parts of dead babies.
Totally different.
The government was stealing parts of recently dead babies and children because they needed a young tissue to do radiation testing. More than 1,500 kids they stole body parts from. There was no like compensation. Yeah, there was no like, you know what I mean? Like, We need part of your kids. They were like just taking limbs, like chopping off a little baby leg and then bringing it back. So nobody found out about that until later on. And if you ever had a baby that died, maybe you were helping the government with radiation testing. Who knows?
Kevin, that's the story.
Who knows? I mean, maybe, I don't know. I feel like that's pretty fucked up if you have a baby or a child that dies young. Maybe you don't really need the government stealing body parts from your baby before it's buried, but whatever, they did it anyway. So, I mean, I guess,
Kevin,
fuck you.
That's just disturbing. I don't even know where to go. Okay.
I didn't do it. I'm not the one that did it.
The government coming after our children. A lot of people used to say that the schools were indoctrinating our children. You've probably heard that, especially like the crazy Christians were like, you know, we're worried about what they're saying to our kids and whatever, and they're trying to shape them into little communists or good employees working for their slave masters. There were some quotes from Rockefeller about how he was going to kind of ruin our country by, and that's why he gave all the money to education and made sure that the schools were teaching about making good little employee slaves. And there were,
Yeah. I mean, how are you going to convince people to go from being like farmers and hunters and outdoorsmen to like sitting in a factory for 10 or 12 hours?
How are you going to train people to do that? Fishing and loving every day to, you know, hey, you know what? If you sat in this textile mill, things would be better. Now, I have seen the Waltons, and you know, I'm not really sure everything was always great, because sometimes like the little vagrants had come sleep in your barn, or you know, things weren't always rainbows and sunshine. But I can't be sure that we live in a better world now. So I do have an interview, and you guys might know this guy from Baby Snakes with the titties and beer. You just work with me. You'll see it.
All right.
Schools train people to be ignorant with style. They give you the equipment that you need to be a functional ignoramus. American schools do not equip you to deal with things like logic. They don't give you the criteria by which to judge between good and bad in any medium or format. And they prepare you to be a usable victim for a military-industrial complex that needs manpower. As long as you're just smart enough to do a job and just dumb enough to swallow what they feed you, you're going to be all right. But if you go beyond that, you're going to have these grave doubts that give you stomach problems, headaches, make you want to go out and do something else. So I believe that schools mechanically and very specifically try and breed out any hint of creative thought in the kids that are coming.
That was considered crazy at the time, Kevin.
Frank Zappa. One of the best spokesmen for freedom of speech this country has ever had. I think he's widely considered to be an American hero, but if I had to list him, he'd be in the top 10 right there.
Like intelligent debate and discussion. He's definitely a smart guy. You know, he brought stuff to the table. I'm not saying I'm all in on Frank Zappa, although I kind of, the more I was thinking about it, I'm wondering if my corrupted childhood kind of came from, you know, growing up near Woodstock and everybody was like Zappa fans, and you know, kind of, now you're saying, well, Chuck, yeah, but you haven't delivered any evidence that the schools have been, you know, corrupted. And I would say, did you see the last like 5 elections? And do you see what we swallow and accept in modern day society? Have you ever heard Mike Rowe do an interview? I think all these things would tell you that maybe our schools are kind of fucked up. Our schools are a shitty job.
Yeah.
Then I would tell you, and I don't know, I've been seeing the statistic around on the interweb, so I don't even know if it's true, but I know that it's at least going in this direction, whether it's true 100% or true 70%. But it turns out 30% of kids in elementary school now think they're transgender. What the hell is going on with America? We can't even teach our kids freaking how to check their parts and see what's going on. We're all confused out there. We're telling them that they're born with options. Well, yeah, you can be somebody who doesn't have an arm if we cut it off. I mean, that's an option for you. Well, yes, but it's not really logical or sane, I would say. I know I'm a horrible person.
Yeah.
I don't
know. No, and it's fair to you know, say, try talking to your kids and ask them what they're learning. That's a valid statement. And I talked to my kid when he was in grade school. And I remember his teacher, he was telling me his teacher was talking about some racist speech that had been going on and how we need to regulate speech. And freedom of speech isn't a great idea. And we need somebody in charge to like make sure that people are saying the right things, right? And my kid tried to argue with him, but I mean, how does a 10-year-old really argue logically that you should support people's right to say racist shit? I mean, it's not an easy argument to make. It's just a stupid argument to make against it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, as long as you stay in line, do what you're told to do, behave yourself, and don't say anything you're not supposed to say, everything's going to work out for you.
Follow the rules, Kevin. It's time that we follow the rules. And the sooner you accept that, the better the world's going to be. So That's what I got. I don't know. To me, the schools might be trying to corrupt your kids a little bit. You might want to pay attention to that. I know homeschool is less and less of an option. I know we talk about how you hate poor people somehow. If you want these school vouchers and school choice, if you want that, I'm not really sure how that works, because it seems like the poor people could also utilize these school vouchers and school choice. But
yeah, if you think about some of the like the best private schools in the country, like the tuition that they require, it can be expensive, very expensive. Like if you're not wealthy, definitely your kids can't go to those private schools.
Wait.
However, your school is probably spending about $35,000 per year on educating your child, which if you got that money to spend wherever you want, public schools would be out of
business. If you could vote with your dollars. You know what I mean? And it's not even your dollars. It's, you know. It turns out now, Kevin, not everybody's a fancy New Yorker with your $35,000 a kid. Some of us in the Southland are probably like $20 a kid or something, you know.
Well, I say that because I was undershooting what we spend here. The next town over spending $42,000 per child per year, which probably not the same in Alabama and Mississippi and some other places, but.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a crazy world. But yeah, turns out the government might be kind of, you know, trying to influence your kids in school. We won't even talk. We could do a whole show on voting districts. We could do a show on how they're protecting your borders. There are so many conspiracies that it turns out you're not crazy. The government's just now you're saying, well, Chuck, all right, my concern is, what does this have to do with survival and prepping? Well, I guess what it really comes down to, and why I kind of wanted to get into this, is maybe you should look with a cautious eye when the government tells you things. Maybe we should assume that not everything is exactly true and on the up and up. And maybe we should do a little bit of our own research and a little bit of our own thinking to kind of make sure that we're on the right path and doing things, you know, in a logical way and reasonable. Because, man, we get so caught up just trying to survive that you end up, you know, losing sight of everything going on. And, you know, you just get overwhelmed and you're like, I just want to stay on my property and never go out. You know, ever since kind of malls started dying and COVID, nobody kind of wants to leave the house at all. You know, it's like we go to work, we go home, and we realized, I think, during COVID that maybe being home is better than being out with other people. And it turns out you can save money doing it that way too. So I don't know. But the bottom line is, make sure you're paying attention and don't just accept everything you hear. You know, do some research. You doubt me on any of the things we talk about or whatever, give it a Google search and start digging down a little bit. You know, maybe don't just do Google fact check or Snopes or whatever. You know, another one that didn't quite make it into this episode, and I kind of came across it too late, is, you know, people shorting stocks before September 11th, 2001. They were shorting airline stocks. That's kind of a concerning, what the hell, right? Do the research. There were news stories like Ted Koppel and whatnot. I don't, was it Ted? Oh, one of them. I don't know the reporter guys. I'm not as slick as I should be, but, I don't know. I'm just saying, pay attention, do some research, search things out on your own, think for yourself. And, you know, our job here is to give you ideas and new directions to think about. That's how I see my job. I don't know. You take it as you want it. But anyway, stick around. We'll try and do an after show. And I would say you guys appreciate it. You could check us out on patreon.com/preppingbadass, or you could also email questions and concerns to preppingbadass@gmail.com. Otherwise, stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.